2 years ago, platypus were reintroduced to the park's waterways after a 50-year absence. And now, three baby platypus, or puggles as they're known, have been born. Uncle Dean Kelly works with New South Wales Parks and Wildlife as a community liaison officer and says this is a story about science and culture working together. One that shows what's possible when we listen to country. I met Uncle Dean on Dharawal country at the Royal National Park early one morning to find out how he first got involved.
Yeah, there were a whole lot of agencies that got involved in this project with the platypus and UNSW, the university, Taronga Park Zoo, and there were other scientists around it and obviously national parks. And when I heard about the project, I thought, this is exciting and it needs to be done to reintroduce these special creatures back into this environment. You know, it's only through human sort of impact that they weren't here, but now to bring them back is very special, and I was very honoured to be asked to be involved.
Mm. What do platypus mean to you as a Yuin man?
Oh, look, we have lots of special animals in this country, you know, that nature created, and the platypus is one of them. Alongside that, we've got the echidna, you know, animals that are found nowhere else. But we call the platypus in our language Jamalung, and we have a story that talks about two animals becoming one. And from my mother's country, which is Wawin country, out in the marshes, we have a little animal out there called Gumbi, and he's the water rat. And Gumbi was asked by the creator to come together with another animal from the south, which is my Yuin totem, Umbara, the language totem for the Yuin people. And the creator asked them both to come together and form one creature. And Jamalung is that. Jamalung had come together as Umbara, the black duck, and Gumbi, the water rat, and become the one animal. And Gumbi's very special culturally because he keeps the river moving. Yes, when we get rain, that moves the water as well, and other things do, but the platypus Jamalung moves along the bottom and doesn't let the river quite settle, so it becomes what we call stagnant. So he goes along and disturbs everything in a good way, to keep all those little things moving that need to move, and then how it's all connected to other things that live there as well. Has a very important job. The lyrebird, which is the logo for national parks, has a similar job on the land, because the lyrebird, and in my language we call that Nyarran Nyarran. Nyarran Nyarran goes around and moves all the soil on the land and keeps the land moving in that sense. So the animals know their jobs, and we study the animals like the platypus and the lyrebird to learn about what they're doing and how they do it. But nature is always teaching us, constantly teaching us, and culturally these animals need to be here. They're helping us live. They're keeping us alive in some sense, and we're part of a big circle that is continuous. And the animals will end up in the same place as us. We'll end up back in the land, which we call the mother.
And so can you take me, can you mentally take us to that that release, that first time that platypus were re-released back on country?
Yeah, there was a lot of excitement around that time, and I can remember it like it was yesterday. The minister was there and she was very polite, and my grandson was there. You know, we thought this is part of his country, and me and my wife thought this is really important to this young person to know about this at such a young age. And he wasn't frightened of what he needed to do, and he got to release one, and that's a once in a lifetime experience not only for Waratah, our grandson, but for us as grandparents to see that and be involved in it. As Aboriginal people, you know, we've been looking after country for thousands and thousands of years. You know, we don't have a date to that really, you know. It's just that it needs to continue, and we need to be able to be involved in things with culture and science coming together, so we can really look after country the way the old people did. There's so much knowledge in the land, and that's what the old people used to say. My old teachers used to say, look, it's there. All you got to do is open your eyes and open your ears and then start to feel what's there, and it'll teach you each and every day. So, look, that day was very special. And I know there was a lot of fuss around trying to protect the platypus from different things, including my grandson on that day. But, look, it was second nature to that child, you know. He knew that this animal was special and it was part of his culture, what he had to do. And, look, I hope that that young grandson of mine and my other grandsons become scientists of nature, because that's already in them.
Obviously very exciting for the project to have started, but 2 years in, we're already seeing new platypus puggles, baby platypus.
Yeah, they have these little words for these little new creations, you know, the babies and the puggles. And now I'm told there's three. And I'm told that all of the ones that have been released into here in Royal are all doing well. They tell me the environment's right, the food is good here in the water, and also the water quality. So it's an ingredient that talks about survival, you know, and this is a living place and it needs those little animals in there doing that job so this place survives.
Uncle Dean, what kind of preparation and, I guess, ongoing conservation work had to happen to make this, to make these waterways, I guess, ready for those platypus to come back?
Yeah, there would have been preparation works around water quality, habitat, and making sure there's enough food here, because we do know in other areas the platypus populations are a little bit high, and then they start to compete for their home, their habitat, but also the food. And we're hearing that in some areas they're not so healthy because there's not enough food, there's not enough room. So by bringing some out of those areas and putting them into new areas where there are none, I think it's a really positive thing, and it's only going to benefit the environment that we put them into, because them little fellas know their job and they will do their job each and every day, and we don't have to pay them to do that. Their payment is their survival. And I'm just so happy to be involved in it, and I'm glad National Parks have involved me in it. I'm glad the scientists that ring me up every now and then and say, how are you going, and this is what we're doing. That's a sign of respect, and I just hope that continues.
Can you tell me a little about, I guess, that phone call that you got to say, hey, we got this idea?
Yeah, it was actually through the area manager, Brendan Neely, of Royal. And Brendan had started talking to me about it. And then he introduced me to one of the scientists. There were a few scientists that were there, and there was Richard and another guy that I keep on crossing paths with, you know. He rings me up every now and then. I think he's South American, and at the moment I can't think of his name. But he always, you know, he'll give me a call and say, we're doing this. And when I hear that, I just think, well, here's another opportunity to get involved again, you know, to be back out there and start to learn a little bit more about these animals. So, yeah, I'm just going to, Gillard is his name. And one of the little platypuses, this is important, we named the first one Gilly, which is flame in Dharawal language, Sydney language. And his name's Gillard, that scientist, and it was only fitting. And then he said that his grandfather's name had something to do with flame as well. And we thought, well, we didn't know that before that, but it's the right name. Now we've named all three. One of the other ones is Jirawalajung, which means we grow together. And then Jamalung, obviously, is our Yuin word, but also they'll use that in this area as well, on Dharawal country, for that animal, the platypus.
Yeah. Is there anything that you would like people to know about the platypus or about the royal?
I think when we look at a place like Royal, it's connected to a bigger place. And the platypuses are very important, but what we've got to look at as people and human beings is how we look after it together, how we share this responsibility. We have these national parks, and we're very lucky we do. So we need to make sure we don't become the problem and impact those places, because we want it to survive for future generations. You know, the old people were here for a very long time. We're talking, in science terms, they say 65,000 years, I think. We've got stories that go back a long way past 65,000 years that are living stories. We still talk about them stories. We still teach those stories. Our culture is a living thing, and we can't wrap it up in a box and keep it there. We have to, as my old teacher said, give it away to keep it. So part of it is the education of educating each other about how important these areas are and how we teach the next generations how to do that as well, to share it.
What actually sparked your passion for doing this kind of work, for being involved with the National Parks and Wildlife Service and working in the Royal?
Look, I grew up in the city, but we were always taken to the bush. There's a community of plants called the Eastern Suburbs Banksia Scrub out at La Perouse, because that's where my grandmother lived and my father grew up. And we were wandering through that bush as kids, as cousins, and there were usually quite a few of us, you know, together, and we were getting scratched off those little bushes and that. And Dad was teaching us a few things about little fruits on the plants and flowers and things, about a little bit of bush tucker stuff, taking us fishing. We're always connected to nature. And so you never forget that little plant that scratches you. And it also, in some way, it always calls you back. So look, as a kid, we were taught about this stuff. We were camping in the bush all the time. Our food was coming out of the ocean. There weren't other people around in some of these camp areas way down south. It's just part of it. It's in us, and there's an obligation. It's not work. It's an obligation to continue what others have done before us. And the old people were very good at it. You know, they didn't leave much of a mark, only the marks they wanted to leave. So look, I feel very privileged to be able to do the work I do, and work with so many people. And I'm going to continue for now, but I have a bigger vision of creating something more than just Aboriginal people who work on the land. It's something more, because there's so much depth in the knowledge in this land. And I still believe that we don't look at it properly. We look at it in boxes and silos. We don't look at it as a holistic thing. And I want to teach some young people how to do that, how to be scientists, but also how to hold their culture as well, so that they find that balance of bringing things together and looking after it holistically.
Thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you. And look, it's been very good to be here on this river again. Them little fellas aren't too far away, them Jamalungs. And look, one day I'll come back here and sit quietly and maybe they'll show themselves.
That was Uncle Dean Kelly there, speaking from the Royal National Park, where Jamalong platypus are thriving again.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.